Well, it's been an interesting week, ladies and gentlemen, as far as politics goes. Finally, after, what has it been, a year and a half, we were able to take our minds politically, briefly, off the endless cycle of Hillary, Barack, McCain, Huckabee, Edwards, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's all it's been, because the president has been almost a nominal player in his own country since about 6 months after his election. I went through some of this last week where I said that, isn't it odd? Here was George Bush, he had the 4 years, he screwed up pretty much everything in a lot of people's opinions, yet he still got elected by a fair margin. And then, 6 months into office of his second term, the lame duckism started. People, first of all, turned on him. All these millions of people had no problem voting for him 6 months before, suddenly realized the Iraq War wasn't such a good idea. Which, by the way, we're going to lose our 4,000th soldier within a week or two, according to one of the local papers. So there's a fun little milestone. But okay, so finally America wakes out of its stupor, out of its right-wing Christian-induced stupor, out of its good old boy, Southern Texan boy made good kind of stupor, and realizes that we've elected a moron who has surrounded himself with evil people, and that he's got another 3.5 years in office. And what do you do? It's like the comedian who changes the tenor of everything because he makes fun of it. Just the way that this week in Saturday Night Live, there was some controversy about SNL having influenced the vote because they made Hillary seem a little more human, and they criticized through satire the fact that the media seemed to be giving Barack Obama a free ride. And suddenly, you know, the emperor had a little bit of a change of clothing, if not no clothes. Well, that was happening with George Bush. He seemed so powerful with Cheney and all those folks. And then America just went... 6 months into his second term, America just went, you know what? Enough of you. Enough with the guy shooting, the vice president shooting somebody in the face, and oil prices going up, and nobody getting cost of living increases or making a living, and then we're having a mortgage crisis, and we've got people, you know, American boys by the dozens dying in Iraq for a war that you lied about. I mean, we all know. Okay. And just like that, Bush virtually disappeared into the woodwork. And then, as soon as people gave up on Bush, it was like, 2008. It was barely 2005. And people were like, 2008, who's going to be the candidate? Who are the Democrats running? What are the Republicans going to do? Can they climb out? And blah, 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 blah. And it's just been, as we all know, like that for month after month after month. The campaigning that used to be a couple of months before the elections, it now is about a 2.5 to 3 year process of pure campaigning. No matter who, it could be someone who, like we have a couple of senators running for president. Have they done any senatorial work? Have they done anything involved in their actual jobs in the past 2 years? Of course not. And they're still, I mean, it's not like they're lazy. It's just that they're spending 21.5 hours a day trying to get elected to something else. So it was almost a relief this past week when, instead of waking up to, okay, so-and-so, or, you know, Hillary wants these states counted for the caucuses, and Barack just got these more things for this primary, and then these two states, if they go this way, it'll go to this person or that, and Huckabee hasn't dropped out, and Ron Paul is doing this, and John McCain is angry because he's being perceived as, well, I mean, okay. Every day we wake up to that. And then, boom, suddenly, get up in the morning, and the big political news of the day, if you were in the Northeast area at all, was Governor Spitzer likes hookers, and he's probably going to have to resign. Wow! Wow! I mean, okay, you know, so many things just go through. It's like erasing this blackboard full of chalk marks about delegates and numbers and chads, you know? And it's like, hooker, Spitzer, it's just too good. Because it's such mixed emotions about all this, because I hate when things that are not necessarily germane to a person doing their job are preventing them from doing their job and actually getting them fired from their job, which is kind of, in a variant sort of way, what happened to Bill Clinton when he was impeached and pretty much prevented from doing anything really valuable for a full year into his second term because all the Republicans wanted to do was hammer him and say, ooh, he's having sex with an intern. Ooh, sex, sex, naughty, naughty Clinton. We hate him, we hate him. Now we got him. Da-da-da. And he lied under oath, which he should not have done. But as I've said a million times on the air, and in person, it's not like I have a different feeling in person than I do on the radio, but Clinton lied under oath about having sex with Monica Lewinsky, and that was bad. But it was a question he should never have been asked under oath in the first place. It was nobody's damn business. Okay? It was consensual sex. It was Hillary's business. Okay, she's married to him. And it was maybe if Monica Lewinsky had a boyfriend or you know, she's an adult. Her mom doesn't even have to know. It was consensual sex between adults. Okay? That's it. Did not require impeachment, did not require anything, and should not have impeded President Clinton from doing his job. But, of course, the Republicans made sure that it did. Now, this is, unfortunately, a rather different thing for Elliot Spitzer. First of all, yes, we're talking about consenting adults. And I'm also of the mind that if it were regulated properly and disease-controlled, prostitution should be legal. I mean, if we can say that it is legal in one state of the union or part of a state, Nevada, then what is the moral background of saying it's illegal everywhere else? This is something I cannot understand. It's either illegal because it's immoral or it's okay and we should legalize it. Not like this, like, well, if you go to Nevada, we're going to look the other way and it's legal and you can, it's totally fine to go with a person, pay for sex and blah, blah, do that transaction. But anywhere else, oh my God, no. So we have that ridiculous hypocritical dichotomy. And for the fact that so much of what every economy is based on, every economic transaction is based on, is trading something for something else. You trade green paper for milk, eggs, butter, whatever it is. Or you can maybe trade the milk, eggs, butter for someone who will paint your garage. Okay, all of that is not only legal, it's encouraged. It's what people do, especially when money's tight. You trade, you give one thing, you get another. And I feel that sex should be the same way. We, you know, we have a puritanical nature. We also have a male phallocentric country. And the whole Western world is kind of that way, but America's the worst about it. So, sex shouldn't just be legal in Nevada. If a woman feels that she wants to trade her body for money or goods or services, so be it. Let it be legal. Problem is, it is not legal now. And so, that's where Elliot Spitzer kind of gets caught, and that's where, unfortunately, I have to agree with the fact that he should have resigned and may be facing charges because he was obviously breaking a law. And then you've got the worst law, of course. The funny part is by transporting this hooker on Amtrak from one state to another, it turns into a federal case. Literally, they make a federal case out of it because, you know, he's taking her from one state to another for an illegal purpose. So, again, forget the morality. If he wants sex, or if he wants to pay for sex for a woman, because he's not the most attractive man. You know, I don't know if you all saw that picture of him in the papers when he was apologizing, and it looked like he had absolutely no teeth in his head, like his lower lip went so far into his gum that it almost went into his nostril. Well, okay, I can understand women not wanting to give that up for free like Monica would for Bill. But if he wants to do that, it should be legal, and he should have been able to. But because it's not, and because he's the big moralist whistleblower, well, you know, if he wants another kind of blower, then he has to pay the piper. Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave! Tropical hot dog night!
Like two flamingos in a fruit fight. Every color of day. Twirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood. Welcome, 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 everybody. On this very weird Palm Sunday in New York, this pre-St. Patrick's Day Sunday, March 16th, 2008, for episode 264, excuse me, bit my tongue there for a moment, 264 of Dave's Gone By on WGBB. I'm Dave Lefkowitz here with you every week. What was the old way I used to introduce myself? Radio personality, journalist, humorist, and general raconteur. And I'm doing it the old-fashioned way because we're kind of having an old-fashioned episode of Dave's Gone By tonight. I don't have a special guest. I have a guest co-host, of course, as I've had for well, gosh, almost the past year.
Co-host.
Well, oh, here he is, Jeff Goodman, of course.
That's outrageous!
Outrageous! You'll get the in jokes in a bit. So, but I'm not doing an interview this week. We have one for next week.
A minute and a half ago.
What we're going to do is some really older, kind of old-fashioned, the way Dave's Gone By's used to be, in the sense that it's mostly me, joined by Jeff, talking about theater.
In small letters.
Well, because you never used to be part of it. It used to be a solo show. It still sort of is, but you're generally a guest co-host because you're a lot of fun and you bring a liveliness to the thing and you drive me home.
That's outrageous!
Outrageous was robbed. So, we're going to be doing the News Gone By, which it's kind of our version of the Saturday Night Live weekend update meets Jon Stewart-y thing.
Your version.
My version. Okay, which Jeff despises.
Well, not despises. I'd say about 25 to 33% is okay.
Oh, it's okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's, well, you know, that's pretty good for a baseball player.
Okay or better. How's
okay.
that?
So, you know what? Keep score at home. There's about 15 or 17 jokes tonight in the News Gone By. So keep your own tally. It can be interactive. And you can rate the jokes on a scale of 1 to 5. How many ones, how many twos? There won't be any fives, but how many ones and twos?
That's for sure.
The occasional three. It kind of makes you a participant in the News Gone By on Dave's Gone By. And then also inside Broadway tonight, where Jeff and I will be talking about the big news of the day on the Rialto, on and off Broadway. Plus, we'll be reviewing the Broadway revival of Harold Pinter's The Homecoming, with kind of an all-star cast, Michael McKean, Raul Esparza. And who's the guy who played Lovejoy on that series? Who's the plays the father in this? The English, Ian McShane. Ta-da!
Yes.
Got it. Okay. And if there's time, we will also
and
be
also
reviewing...
And also you forget the woman.
Oh, Eve Best. She's not really a name. She's a name on Broadway, but I don't know if most people would know.
That's outrageous!
Outrageous! And then, if there's time, we will talk about Sunday in the Park with George, the revival of Stephen Sondheim and James Lapine, their great modern American musical, Sunday in the Park with George, that is being revived on Broadway. Also, there's definitely going to be time for this, because it's the night before St. Patrick's Day, and we want everybody to be safe. I'm going to be playing a moldy golden oldie, it's already turned green for the holiday, of Blarney O'Bunions giving his opinion and really a public service announcement on driving drunk and being drunk on St. Patrick's Day. It's not a good thing to do. We really want you to be safe out there. So listen for Blarney O'Bunions talking to...
Oh, yeah, that's gonna be good.
Yeah. So we have a lot to get to. Let's get to it after we mention our sponsors, who are Hewlett Minuteman Press, which are...
The Copy Kings of Broadway.
That's right, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, 10% off for all Dave's Gone By listeners. Go in there with any job, big or small, 10% off at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of Broadway for 65 years. We'll mention this in Inside Broadway, but one of the founders of the magazine that became Performing Arts Insider died this past week. So we're going to send out our thanks to her, I guess, and our best wishes to whatever family she has. So, But Performing Arts Insider goes on and on and on, and find out more at performingartsinsider.com. MortgagesRock.com rocks because, Jeff?
Just because they do.
And because you can get a mortgage and financing for the things you need for a new house, for your current house, for college education, to redo some stuff in your house, MortgagesRock.com, or you can learn how to be a broker and do that for other people and get the commission, MortgagesRock.com. And finally, this program is brought to you by Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. Fancy Schmancy Balloons. What's the phone number, Jeff?
That would be 516-797-3229.
Say it one more time.
516-797-3229.
Jeff can't wait to play something off his computer. What have you got on YouTube there?
Please, my favorite thing.
For a lot of other people, I've been robbed. Robbed. We just bought a new house. It's really the first house.
Carol. And also, before we get to the commercials, before we do anything else, a couple of things. Some really, a lot of big news swirling about things. So let me make a couple of things clear about other projects I'm involved with. What is it, Jeff?
Oh, I thought we were going to do Cranes Are Falling.
No.
That's not about.
No, I want to talk a little bit, just for a moment, about Shalom Dammit, which, for the rest of this month on Long Island, is still running Wednesday mornings at 7:30 on Channel 20. So you have a couple more opportunities in March to see Shalom Dammit, Channel 20, Wednesday mornings at 7:30. Starting in April, you'll be able to see Shalom Dammit still Wednesday mornings at 7:30, but it's going to switch to Channel 115. And there's going to be a sort of a rerun, but it might be a different episode also, on Friday mornings at 7:30. And it's Shalom Dammit Redux, we're calling it. It's basically just another episode of Shalom Dammit. So Wednesday and Friday mornings.
Don't you remember the Barnum? Go to the egress. See the egress.
Oh, and the egress turns out to be getting them out of the theater.
The exit.
Yeah, exactly.
Walk around the block and see a new show start. Remember that one?
I never saw Barnum.
Oh, really?
No. Oh. Okay, so Jeff is making these theatrical things.
I'll have to give you the tape.
Cool. Anyway, so that's the information about Shalom Dammit. Also the fact that if we've got New York listeners listening to this radio program on the internet or maybe getting on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, please know that finally you can now see Shalom Dammit on Manhattan Cable Television. Manhattan Neighborhood Network has started airing Shalom Dammit starting today at 1:30 in the afternoon on Channel 67 on MNN. So Sundays, 1:30 p.m. in Manhattan, Channel 67. There's the rabbi's music. And you can also stream it. MNN.org streams the show when they air it at 1:30 on Sundays. Okay, Jeff. So anyway, that's the theme music from Shalom Dammit. And want to remind everybody also, one other cool thing, this is not a reminder, this is a new thing, that remember a couple of, about 2 months ago, I appeared rather higgledy-piggledy on WOR.
And he was nude.
No, but I wanted to be, but they wouldn't let me. On Joey Reynolds' show. Joey Reynolds is a longtime broadcaster, and has been on WOR for a couple of years. He does the overnights on weeknights. Well, anyway, he had me on in what they call the Shabbos Hour, which is from Friday from midnight until 1 a.m., and it's a total free-for-all. There's like 15 people in the room.
Shabbos Hour is a free-for-all?
It's completely nuts. It's got an old guy who was on Sergeant Bilko. He's got Sidney Meier, who runs Don't Tell Mama. I mean, it's just craziness. The whole idea is everybody's jumping in at once.
Someone named Sidney Meier now owns Don't Tell Mama.
Oh, yeah, yes. He's a major cabaret guy. Anyway.
But I digress.
So I was on there. I did my best. I thought I came off pretty well. So they've invited me back, but this time it's not going to be on the Shabbos Hour. This time I'm actually going to be able to get a couple of words in edgewise. And the only problem is it's going to be pretty late. So late night Thursday into Friday morning. So technically it's early Friday morning, 2 o'clock. Set your clock radios or something for WOR 710. And I will be on with Joey Reynolds. He'll be talking to me about what I do, about Dave's Gone By, about Performing Arts Insider Magazine, and whatever other stuff that tends to come up. There'll probably be one or two other guests as well, but it should be kind of cool. It's the first day of spring, and it's going right into Purim. What better time for old Dave to migrate onto to the old Joey Reynolds show, and I thank him very much for that.
Well, along with a lot of other people, I've been robbed.
Thank you, Carol. Anyway, now that we've got that out of the way, we'll be back with the News Gone By right after this message.
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good for a laugh.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this lovely March 16th, 2008. It is time for the News Gone By, a look at local and world events on this Palm Sunday from a fond and frond perspective. We begin with politics, where, at least for a few days, the focus has shifted from mudslinging to pud-swinging. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, our go-to guy for law and order, the governor of New York State, Elliot Spitzer,
our governator.
Governator, resigned because of a sex scandal. Or, as the phrase goes, first he eats her, then he spits her. But Spitty didn't quite confess.
God, so far, 2-0. You're 0-2.
But he certainly apologized for having inappropriate relations with that woman from an escort agency. Not only did he spend thousands of dollars at the Emperor's Club, he bought one hooker an Amtrak ticket so she could join him for a tete-a-tete in Washington. Now, whatever your feelings are about prostitution, and God knows I'm for it, sending someone across state lines to do something illegal is a federal crime. Oops.
I think sending someone Amtrak is a federal crime. So you couldn't fly him?
Or a helicopter. This guy could spring for a helicopter, yeah? I bring up all the Bill Clinton parallels you want, but that was consensual sex between mutual adults. He lied about it under oath, but he shouldn't have been asked about it in the first place. Conversely, now I may be wrong about this, but I would guess a crime czar like Elliot Spitzer probably knew prostitution is against the law in New York State. It's just one of those things like wearing a seatbelt or not shooting people. Then again, if you believe the wiretaps, he argued with one of the hookers about having to wear a condom. So, maybe when baby Elliot was being put together in heaven, he did like so many men and skipped the brains line to get on the penis line twice. Now, at least at this point, it appears...
Is that are you 0-3 now?
I'm 0-7 already.
Okay.
At least at this point, it appears that all the money Spitzer spent on mercenary beaver was his own. He comes from wealth, so spending $80,000 on call girls was like the rest of us spending $100 on tickets to Gypsy. Although, at least there, the climax takes a good 10 minutes. Even in the age... Even in the age of Lindsay... Thank you.
Swing and a miss.
Even with Lindsay Lohan, Britney Spears, and O.J. Simpson, it's hard to think of a more precipitous fall from the heights than the governor's. He swept into office carrying a huge majority, well, 7 inches if you believe the transcripts. He had an untouchable reputation as attorney general, where he prosecuted bad guys, especially Wall Street fat cats, to the full extent of the law, often using wiretaps. But as soon as he replaced Pataki, the painting in Spitzer's closet started to turn really homely. Let's not forget that nasty fight with Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno, who called Spitz a bully and accused him of spying. And he also seemed incapable of working with anyone who didn't agree. And now all his enemies are jumping with glee because he's become the first attorney genital. Not to mention flushing any future presidential aspirations down the toilet. The only potential good to come out of all of this is that even as we wonder if we'll soon have an African-American president, the man who will fill Spitzer's shoes as governor of New York is both black and legally blind, Lieutenant Governor David Paterson, asked how he would feel about being the first black governor in New York's history Patterson said, "Oh my God, I'm black."
Okay. I knew it was coming, but I'll give you that one.
Thank you.
It
horrible.
As much as I didn't want to smile, I smiled.
Horrible news out of Manhattan yesterday.
So that's nine one
of nine, yeah. When a construction crane toppled over and smashed into a building on East 51st Street, four people were killed and others were injured because it happened right in the middle of the afternoon. The New York Times reported one witness saying, quote, "The top of the crane came off almost like a projectile. A local pub, aptly named Foo Bar, was demolished beyond all recognition in the accident." The Times said witnesses in the area were also reporting a strong smell of gas. Trust me, if they were there when it happened, it was more than gas. Okay, thank you. In crime news...
I was getting ready for something good.
The Associated Press... reports that in Philadelphia, twin gay porn actors are charged in burglary. Actually, I heard they were just bone smuggling. You know, people ask me all the time...
What?
Why I chose radio. What do I get out of it? And I tell them, it's not the money... God knows it's not the money. It's not fame or power or nostalgia for the medium, although they do play a part. The most crucial reason I get on the air here every Sunday night and talk to you...
is to make bad jokes.
Yes, and to share stories like this. Stories that you cannot hear without wanting to run down the street, knocking on all your neighbors' doors and going, "Oh my God, did you hear this?" This is one of those stories, ladies and gentlemen. Are you sitting down? Because this woman was... From the Associated Press, dateline March 13th, 2008, headline reading, "Woman sat on toilet for 2 years." A Wichita, Kansas woman who sat on her boyfriend's toilet for so long that her body was stuck to the seat had a phobia about leaving the bathroom, her boyfriend said. He finally called police on February 27th because she was acting groggy and disoriented. Cops came and saw her sitting on the toilet, her sweatpants down to her thighs, and her legs basically atrophied.
Her skin grew over the toilet.
I heard about this, right? Pam Babcock had been living with her boyfriend, Corey McFarren, for 16 years, and he told AP, this is a quote, "It just kind of happened one day." She went into the bathroom... and I've been in there a little while.
See, now, you can't write this.
You can't write that stuff. See, he said the next time, it was a little longer. Then she got it in her head she was going to stay, and it was a safe place for her, unquote. Babcock apparently was abused as a child, and that caused her to be phobic. McFarren says he tried daily to get her to, get off the pot, and every day she'd say, maybe tomorrow. Said Ness County Sheriff Brian Whipple, quote, Mr. Whipple involved in the toilet thing, surprise, "She was not glued, she was not tied, she was just physically stuck by her body. I still have a hard time imagining it," unquote. Actually, I don't have a hard time imagining it. I'm having a wonderful time imagining it. Babcock initially refused medical services, but was then convinced to go to a hospital. They had to pry the seat off the toilet bowl with a pry bar, and then the hospital pried the seat off of her.
They didn't pry it.
What did they do?
They surgically removed it from her behind.
God. Ew. Officials are still deciding whether to charge the boyfriend with something, especially since the woman refuses to cooperate with investigators.
What is he going to be charged with?
No. Her condition has been reported as fair, with an infection and nerve damage in her legs. Asked if she was tired after sitting on a toilet bowl for 2 years, she said, "Tired? I'm completely wiped out."
Oh, dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. The first old lady was Jennifer Pym. She only stopped by on a personal whim, but her privates got pinched twixt the cup and the brim, and nobody knew she was there.
Oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. The next was the wife of the Bishop of Dover, and though she was known as a bit of a rover, she liked it so much she thought she'd stay over, and nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. The next was an athletic lady named Myrtle, who hopped o'er the top like a steeplechase hurdle, but her glasses were hooked on the stay of her girdle, and nobody knew she was there. Oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there. Now the next old lady was Barbara Bender. She was doing quite well till a fragrant suspender got hooked in the nook of her feminine gender, and nobody knew she was there. Everyone, oh dear, what can the matter be? Seven old ladies were locked in the lavatory. They were there from Sunday to Saturday. Nobody knew they were there.
Returning to the news gone by on Dave's Gone By. You know how every couple of years you get a story about somebody biting off a penis, or a small town has the largest tangerine fight on earth? Well, every few years you also get a story like this. Someone returned a book to a library in southern Finland last week, and the book was over 100 years overdue. Officials have no idea who returned it or who even took it out. All they know is that it's a bound volume of a religious magazine from 1902 and was checked out in the early, very early 20th century. A sticker in the book notes that back then the late fee was 10 cents a week, so doing the math, the overdue penalty on the magazine would be over $500. The irony is that the condition of the latter part of the book seems untouched and was probably unread to the end. This is a continuing problem in libraries there, because when local librarians ask patrons, "Are you finished?" they say, "Yes, I am," and then the book gets snatched away before they can add, "Just like you, born in Helsinki." Man, that was a Finland joke. Finished. Yeah, that joke was labored and obvious.
My God, I didn't even understand that joke. Wait, say it again, because I really...
Are you finished? Yes, born in Helsinki.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, Dave.
Do you know what time it is?
It's 10:25, 11:25.
You know what else?
What?
It's frivolous lawsuit time. It's frivolous lawsuit time. People are greedy. Lawyers are slime when it's frivolous lawsuit time. Yes. Tonight's frivolous lawsuit comes from London, where 55-year-old Alexander Martin Sklan sued the retail chain Marks & Spencer for $600,000. Old Alex was shopping in 2004 when a grape lodged under the sole of his sandal, causing him to slip and fall. He suffered a rupture, which prevented him from being able to ski or play tennis, which plunged him into a depression. Aww.
Well,
so, last week, the judge ruled and says that although, quote, crushed fruit or similar may have caused the claimant to slip, he couldn't prove it. The case was thrown out, a wise judge, and Martin Sklan had to pay $20,000 in court costs.
I know what the payoff is here.
What's the payoff?
Sour grapes?
Not bad. No, the moral of the story is, if you have an accident stomping a grape, don't whine.
Oh, God.
Yes. Not only is it frivolous lawsuit time, it's also time to ring the comedy bell. The bell that signals the Dave's Gone By bad pun of the week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a play on words so juicy that we're raisin hell until you're conquered.
Oh, God. Can I talk about frivolous lawsuits, though?
Quick, yeah.
Yeah. On 60 Minutes, say, Randy Quaid was talking about what happened to his twins. Did you hear about this?
Why is that frivolous?
No. his twins were given an overdose of this drug by accident by a hospital. Well, it seems he's suing the drug manufacturer rather than the hospital.
Oh, because maybe the bottle wasn't clear on the dosage?
They said they have similar bottles with different dosages.
Okay.
I mean, talk about, like, some. It's frivolous because they're just going to the person with deeper pockets.
He's going to be, you know how people are. They're going to sue the person who is on the street because they didn't hear a baby crying because it was given the wrong dosage, and that person should have heard the baby crying a little differently. I mean, you know, there's only so much.
I want to sue.
Frivolous lawsuit time.
I think the food bar is going to sue the people above them for falling into the bar.
That's right. That's right. And the rats who were crushed underneath FUBAR are going to sue the FUBAR guy.
That's right.
It's like, we were having a good livelihood down here from your leftovers, man. But anyway, it's nutty. And you only hear about things like frivolous lawsuit time on a show like this, where we ring the comedy bell a whole bunch. You know, those continually great metaphor.
I know, there's no reason for that.
To remind you, this program exists and subsists on your goodwill and our advertisers' contributions. They know people listen, not just on the radio, but on AM 1240, WGBB.com, all over the country.
And the world.
When Paul Tracy was on a couple of weeks ago, I had people listening in England. When the Grow a Frog guy was here, it was more local. The reach of Dave's gone by.
No, he was in Florida with all his friends.
Right, well, yeah, he came from Massapequa, but right, he was, he was calling from Florida listening. So, the reach of this station is incredible, and you can be part of it by advertising your product, your event, your service on this program.
So, Mr. Coke, Mr. Pepsi, be the first to advertise.
Please. Well, even RC. I'll take RC. Does RC still exist?
Pathmark soda.
Yeah, man. Tell my listeners what you do, or better yet, what you can do for them. A 30-second ad, a 60-second ad, plus your banner on the Dave's Gone By website, plus the option of sponsoring entire episodes or helping sponsor Shalom Dammit, the TV show. All of these things are available, all priced within your budget. You need to be in the Penny Saver. You want to do that ValPak thing? No problem. Believe me, you can fit Dave's Gone By into whatever promotional budget you have.
If you're 12 years old, you can fit it into your budget.
Ah, I don't get it.
Well, they get nice allowances now.
Oh, do they? Okay. I have no idea what this is. You're saying, I do bad jokes. Okay. You're gaining the loyalty of our listeners.
I'm not working on these. I prepare all these to do the bad jokes. I'm just giving you bad jokes off the top of my head.
True. Let's see. Give us a call. You want to hear your ad on the radio? You know how much fun it is to go and listen and suddenly there your ad is on the radio. Give us a call. 516-295-1511.
What was that number again, Dave?
516-295-1511. Write it down and think about this. 516-295-1511. Call anytime. Leave a message. We'll get the rate card right to you. Or you can email davesgoneby@aol.com. That's davesgoneby.
Or one word.
@aol.com. No apostrophe. Next Sunday, I could be talking about your clothing store, your tax preparations, your liquor store. But you got to make that call, 516-295-1511, to advertise on Dave's Gone By.
And we can make a really bad joke about it, too.
Like this one. Don't be good. Be ponderful. Now,
oh,
sit
okay,
right back. Wait.
More bad news?
Now, sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a trip. 69-year-old Dawn Wells, the adorable Mary Ann on Gilligan's Island, pled guilty to reckless driving last week. She was fined $400 and sentenced to 5 days in jail because cops found marijuana in her car. According to Wells, she was coming home from a party, stopped to pick up some hitchhikers, and it was their pot and paraphernalia in her car. Which, of course, doesn't explain why she was swerving on the road and failed a sobriety test. Folks, the apocalypse is obviously just around the corner. I mean, if you can't trust Mary Ann, Who can you trust? The only good news about her prison stay is that the professor has invented a device that will allow her to retrieve a bar of soap without having to bend more than 30 degrees. Also in entertainment news, Paolo... What? It's a jail joke. Get it? It's, all right.
But she's not his guy. They don't have to...
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that. Oh, yeah. I'll have to rewrite my that one. Paolo Calabresi, an Italian TV personality, got red carpet treatment in Madrid when everyone there mistook him for actor Nicolas Cage. Calabresi went to a big soccer match, walked the red carpet, he even sat in the press box. And it took a couple of days, but the Spaniards finally caught on to the hoax. They knew he was not Nicolas Cage because he spoke English clearly and appeared to have real talent. Okay, is everybody ready to go, aw? Come on, try it. Aw. Here's an aw story for you. 4-year-old Robert Irwin, the son of deceased crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, got his first snake bite last month. Aw. His mom, Terry Irwin, remember her, told the Associated Press little Bobby picked up a baby boa constrictor and it bit him on the finger. He was so proud, she said, to have copped his first hit. He said, "I hope it wasn't venomous," unquote. Terry then said she assured Robert, quote, "I wouldn't actually let him play with venomous snakes." Yeah, remember, this is the kid Steve Irwin dangled over the crocodile pit 4 years ago. Meanwhile, 9-year-old Bindi Irwin has her own TV show where she plays with snakes, hippos, tigers, and elephants, and yet her life expectancy is still 40 years more than Lindsay Lohan's. Jeff?
That Bindi Irwin is the most obnoxious kid.
How come? Why?
I never see her. Oh, I'm the luckiest person, I'm the luckiest little girl in the world. Oh, my God. Face.
Well, yeah, she's kind of ugly.
I am really like... Bindi Irwin... Well, let me get something on Bindi Irwin. And then you can hear her voice and how... Phony. I mean, oh, she's just a phony, baloney little. You know, she's killing the family. That's all I can say.
And apparently she's been bringing hookers back and forth from Washington, D.C. on Amtrak.
International transport.
Because she's mature for her age. Anyway, in health news, a disturbing study this week from the CDC in Chicago, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention surveyed 800 girls ages 14 to 19, and found that 1 in 4 had a sexually transmitted disease, and 1 in 2 African-American teenagers had either herpes, chlamydia, HPV, or the little-known but equally lovable trichomoniasis. Officials say they hope the survey will demonstrate the need for better screening, testing, and prevention, and they do expect the infection rate to go down drastically as soon as R. Kelly moves out of Chicago. In sports news...
Okay, I'll give you that one.
Give
that
was good. In sports news, the baseball Barry Bonds hit for home run number 762 will be going up on sale. Experts say the record-setting ball might fetch $2 million at auction. Actually, they said only $1 million, but like the player, I'm inflating it out of all sense of natural proportion. Moving to technology...
Oh, you're just jealous.
What?
Jealous that your balls aren't worth that much.
You know, they're worth that much to me. Probably not much to anybody else, but you'd have to pay me about that much to get rid of them. GPS systems are apparently not infallible. That's what a Bedford Hills man discovered last month when he was following the directions in his car. He turned right, as the system advised him to, only to find himself stuck on railroad tracks with a train barreling at him. He jumped out of the vehicle just as the Metro North train smashed it to pieces. Now the man is liable for hundreds of thousands of dollars in damages, not to mention the loss of his car. Sifting through the wreckage, police discovered the problem. The man had a GPS system from Eastern Europe, so instead of the letters standing for Global Positioning System, they stood for Gory Polish Suicide. Speaking of death, oh, the agony of defeat, ladies and gentlemen. A Chinese bride set her husband on fire and burned him to death because he came to bed without washing his feet. This according to Reuters. They were a bickering couple, little things.
You think?
And they would often get drunk just so they could tolerate each other. Well, this night they killed a bottle of something, and he crawled into bed with schmutzy toes, and she got so mad, she set the bed ablaze while he was sleeping. She escaped at the last minute and was quickly arrested, but the joke's on her, because as soon as she got to the front yard, she stepped in the same thing he did. Now, what are you laughing? Oh, yeah, I'm surprised.
I was hardly listening.
All right, let's hear Bindi. This is going to be Bindi Irwin, right? Whoop. This has been the Irwin singing.
Did you know she has a music video with whales?
Oh, dear God. Which is the whale?
That.
Okay, enough of that. Actually, it sounds a little catchy, come to think of it. But catchy in that sort of where in the world does Carmen Sandiego way. Sorry?
Excuse me, I had to watch her for a second.
Oh, yeah, okay. Take it down, because we got a little more news combine to do for everybody here. Anybody who lives in my neck of the woods knows the controversy going on about the Five Towns Senior Center that wants to expand. They want to build this five-story behemoth in a town where the tallest buildings are less than three stories. So the residents are up in arms, while the administrators are like, we need room. It's not like there are fewer aging people in the neighborhood. Although, considering the way people in the Five Towns drive, I figure most geezers will just get mowed down before they're 90 anyway. But Woodmere isn't the only place with a sour senior situation. In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, residents of the Lake City Senior Center are upset because it plans to build a funeral home across the street. Said one 65-year-old woman, quote, I don't like it. Kind of gives you an uncomfortable feeling. Then again, an 81-year-old woman told AP, quote, we're old here. We're all ready to go. I think it'll be handy, unquote. Nevertheless, 100 residents have signed a petition to protest the funeral home and will attend a town meeting in early February. Not to be outdone, at the funeral home, 36 corpses have signed their own petition. They object to being embalmed across the street from a senior center because of, quote, the pervasive old people smell. Well, I got a good laugh out of Jeff on that one. All right.
I like the idea that they're...
Anyway, speaking of age and financial security, 68-year-old Paul Mahwini of Pittsburgh can now retire because he just sold his record collection on eBay, and the collection went for just over $3 million. Now, before you start poring over your original copies of Sgt. Pepper and Sun Records 45s, I should mention that Mahwini owned a record store, and that the bidder's $3 million pays for more than 3 million albums, singles, and CDs. Mahwini said he'd owned the record shop since 1968, but he wants to quit now because, quote, I am legally blind, and I had a couple of strokes a few years ago, unquote. And he says now he wants to do something else with his life. Okay, maybe it's me, but he's a blind stroke victim. I'm thinking his only remaining life choice is listening to a lot of music. Oops. Oh, well.
Or being governor of New York.
Maybe he likes books on tape. In music news, one of my favorite musicians of all time, Not, gave a concert last month in the Netherlands. Johannes Heesters, a cabaret performer, sang selections from The Merry Widow and the Dutch standard There by the Windmill. This would not be news, except for the fact that, one, Johannes Heesters is 104 years old, and two, the Dutch-born artiste moved to Germany in 1935, not away from, to Germany, and performed for the Nazi regime throughout World War II. In fact, there are photographs of him visiting Dachau with Nazi officers in 1941. He was never seen as a collaborator, per se, and in his autobiography, he wrote, quote, I was ashamed of myself. I am angry with myself for being gullible, credulous, and naive, unquote. Well, he's not alone being angry. There were many protesters outside his concert, including one who carried the sign reading, My Grandfather Was in Dachau Too. Though some people were arrested, Heesters finished the show without incident. However, when he got backstage, the nonagenarian was surrounded by dogs who kept sniffing at his underpants. Asked why they were doing that, the lead dog said, we were only following odors. Ah! See, it's a Nazi dog joke there. Only following. Okay. Another musician of questionable repute, Michael Jackson, caught a break this week. Like the rest of us, old MJ is having financial trouble and mortgage headaches, and nearly had to put the Neverland Ranch up for auction. But he's okay now. He did a refi. He gets to keep the ranch and the monkey and the elephant man bones and the children's books and the bandages and the nose putty.
And did you see one of his tents was ripped?
Oh, no.
It was damaged. Isn't that horrible?
No.
And they're not sure, but some of the rides might be in disrepair.
And some of the handcuffs are missing the baby oil, and yeah, it's a mess.
Macaulay's like 20.
Basically, though, they're bending over backwards for Michael, even though he's unstable and deviant, which just goes to show, once again, it pays to be rich and white. And that's the news gone by for Sunday, March 16th, 2008. Please send your comments, opinions, and Johannes Heesters 8 tracks to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. You don't want to waste a forever stamp? Send an email, davesgoneby@aol.com. That's davesgoneby@aol.com. You can send me letters, postcards, emails, packages, but please, no funeral homes. I've been coughing all week. Here's Bindi. Here's Bindi. Oh, the heck with it.
No, here she is.
The United States. Welcome to New York City. Have you guys been to New York before?
We have.
Do you like the city?
Oh, yes. Awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And a little colder probably than it is at home, no?
Yes, it's summer in Australia. It's stinking hot, but here it's freezing.
Yeah, it is.
We must kill her.
Tell me about G'day USA Australia Week 2007.
We're promoting Australia so that everyone in the USA can come to Australia because it's such a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. It's just gorgeous.
And what do you particularly like about Australia?
I like that when you leave, even if you're from a different country, you get homesick leaving. And all the people...
Oh, I hate her.
So nice. Mm-hmm.
I'll just be going now.
Let's just knife her. Oh, I can't listen to her anymore. That's Bindi Irwin, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God. Who was that? Who was that, whatever, who was that beauty pageant girl who was killed? What was her name? That beauty pageant, 8-year-old, and they thought the parents did it, and the parents may have done it?
Oh, yes.
That's what she could have been.
Oh, my God. This girl is the most... As a matter of fact, even Letterman goes on and just tries to avoid talking to Bindi. Because she's just a thief. Oh, it's disgusting.
I feed her to an alligator.
You do want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how she could be popular. I mean, people have no taste.
That's, well, That's why they're listening to this program, where we've just finished the news gone by. We're going to go into a bit of, I think we have Blarney O'Bunions next, and his special message for St. Patrick's Day. And then we'll be back with Inside Broadway right after this.
And that was news. Yes, that was news. That was very, very, very special news.
Well, faith and begorra, happy St. Patrick's Day to ya. This is Blarney O'Bunions here to tell you all that drinking is a dangerous combination. Ah, sure, if you're like me, you can have 5 or 6 beers, 2 whiskey sours, a pint of ale, and a peach Mai Tai, and still get behind the wheel of a school bus with no problem at all. But if you have that shaken Mai Tai, well, you might find your judgment ever so slightly impaired. If you're at a St. Paddy's Day party, or just sitting in your basement having a Guinness and admiring your guns, for Christ's sake, don't be an idiot. Take the keys out of your pocket, lie down in the driveway, and think nice thoughts about Killarney. And don't lie on your back as you start choking on your own barf. Oh, gosh, I shouldn't have mentioned the puke. Last night, I got so blind stinking drunk, I couldn't even lift the lid of the toilet seat. The good news is, I finally did. The bad news is, it wasn't the toilet, it was the washing machine. The good news is, there weren't any clothes in it when I vomited. The bad news is, I then put clothes in it. The good news is, the clothes I'm wearing don't stink of last night's vomit. The bad news is, they stink of this morning's vomit. Oh, methinks I'll be making some more. Get ready for an Irish pizza. It's Guinness flavored. Oh, by the great ass of Minerva, that was nasty. Now, I may be a fool to mix up me drinks, but I'm not such a fool as to think I can drive in this condition, and neither should you. Do you know the sound of vomit hitting a windshield at 50 miles per hour? I do. And it's not so different from vomit hitting the floor at 20. Oh, what do you know? I did have onion rings with lunch. Now, if you daren't trust yourself to know when to say no, why not give your car keys to a friend or the bartender? Or better yet, get some pretty lassie you'd like to drive you home. She'd take you to your doorstep all in one piece. You can get real close to her as she helps you up the steps. And just when you're saying goodnight, to show your appreciation, you can hold her gently by the shoulders. Look deeply in her eyes. Bring your mouth to her sweet lips. And then give her... Well, maybe just a handshake. Actually, my hands are shaking right now. Or are my hands steady, and it's my eyes that are shaking? Where was I? Oh, yeah. Glad I'm wearing old shoes. Now, boys and girls, alcohol is a drug. It's addictive. It changes your personality. It kills brain cells. It changes your personality. And it ruins your ability to make good love. No, wait, that's marriage.
Hold on a tick. Oh, blimey, look at it. It's like the movies they show behind the Jefferson airplane. But you get me drift. If you must drink, and I must, drink reprehensibly. Don't drink and drive. Don't let your friends drink and drive. Don't let your enemies drink and drive, because they might hit your friends. And if you do have a drinking problem, well, God knows is, you can join Alcoholics of Platypus. The bad news is, there's no cure for this disease. The good news is, a pint of Guinness is a lot better than cancer. So, take it from your old pal, Blarney O'Bunions, who wants you to live to see many, many St. Patrick's days. Be smart. Be safe. And be... A public service message from the ancient Hibernians, the Irish Republican Army, and the good people at Guinness. Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, Inside Broadway, ladies and gentlemen, here on this Sunday night, March 16th, on Dave's Gone By. Running a little late, so not sure how much of the Inside Broadway we will get to do, but we will be able to do the news on Broadway for you. We've got, let's see, our opening story is kind of off, but I just like some of the people involved in this. It's a play called The System of Dr. Tarr and Professor Feather, which is a puppet satire about the head of an asylum who goes crazy.
I love those puppet satires.
Well, dig this one. It's at Theater for the New City at 1st Avenue and 10th Street between April 10th and April 27th. It's by a woman named Candace Burridge and David Zen Mansley and someone named John Vomit. Mr. Vomit also contributes the score with his band Strange Walls. So if you want to see the work of John Vomit, the place to go is Theater for the New City.
Mr. Vomit, can I have a word?
Absolutely.
Hold on, maybe something will come up.
Oh, bum-bum. Let's see. Hey Mac is our next story. The Mac Awards for the Manhattan Association of Cabarets and Clubs, Tuesday, May 6th, and that's going to be at B.B. King's Blues Club on West 42nd. Basically, there are two cabaret awards shows in New York. There's the Bistro Awards that Backstage does, and then there are the Macs. So, remember, the Macs are on May 6th at B.B. King's.
May 6th at B.B. King's.
Right. Now, coming to Off-Broadway's Mitzi Newhouse Theater at Lincoln Center is a one-man show that's going to be playing on the off nights when the new Paul Rudnick play isn't on. It's John Lithgow doing Stories by Heart. It's going to start in mid-April, and it's going to be on through June on the dark nights of the Paul Rudnick play, The New Century. Now, the Lithgow show is a look back at his career, and he caps it by doing a 40-minute P.G. Woodhouse story where he plays 9 different characters. So John Lithgow was Tony-nominated for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and he starred on Third Rock from the Sun on TV. So could be kind of fun to watch.
He's been a great Broadway performer.
Yeah, I mean, he keeps coming back to Broadway, which is kind of nice. Marlowe's Ghost. Yeah, I mentioned this earlier in the show. Some bad news. Joan Marlowe died on March 6th. She co-founded journal called Theater Information Bulletin back in 1984 with her friend Betty Blake. That was actually taken over from a mimeograph by then New York Times critic Sam Zolotow. Anyway, Theater Information Bulletin went along and along for a bunch of years until finally they changed the name and Richmond Shepherd took it over in the early 1990s, and he changed the name to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, which is still going strong. Richmond and I are now the co-publishers, and I'm the editor-in-chief, so we want to wish a farewell to Joan Marlowe, who helped start it all.
Bye, Joan.
Bye, Joan. And, she was in her 80s, so she lasted a while, and she was actually head of the drama desk for a certain period of time, and did some other stuff as well. Just so everybody knows...
So she basically is the original
Marlowe's ghost.
The Bible of Broadway?
Yes, actually she was. One of, with Betty Blake, back in 1944.
She's like God of Broadway, then.
Well, not quite. She's the writer. Whoever wrote God's words, she was it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Playwrights Horizons has announced its season for next year. And go figure, we've heard of all the playwrights. They're the usual suspects. You've got Teresa Rebeck with a satire called Our House. Nikki Silver, he hasn't written the play in a couple of years. He's doing Three Changes. Craig Lucas has a new play called Prayer for My Enemy. He was last heard on Broadway doing the book for The Light in the Piazza. And then Adam Rapp, writing and directing the play Kindness. As he, you know, he's showing up everywhere, Adam Rapp.
Interesting.
So, I mean, it'd be nice to see a new name here and there, but, you know, as long as these old playwrights keep going, they keep going.
And have you seen Dead Man's Cell Phone yet?
No, is it good?
I don't know, I haven't seen it.
Oh, so.
I was asking.
No, I haven't seen
it. Because that's what's currently playing there.
Oh, that's at Playwrights Horizons? Okay,
yeah.
No, I have not. That's the one with Mary Louise Parker, right?
Yeah.
Cool. There is one playwright that you ought to check out. His play is going to be part of the Cream of the Crop One-Act Festival, March 21st through the 30th at the Richmond Shepherd Theater.
Oh, I don't think you should check out this play.
Oh, you should definitely check it out.
Oh, no.
And besides, the evening is only $15, and if you don't like his one play, there's four other playwrights on the bill. But one of the playwrights, his name happens to be Dave Lefkowitz, and it's a play called Blind Date. It's an older play of mine. It's actually in the book of mine that was published a bunch of years ago called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World. So if you've read the play or you're curious about it, they're going to be doing it at the Cream of the Crop Festival at the Richmond Shepherd Theater.
If you want to pay $15 to hear David.
That's right. You can get me free. But if you want to see other people do my words, 309 East 26th Street from March 21st through the 30th. It's two weekends. 212-684-2960 is the phone number. 212.
Next weekend.
Next and the weekend after, 212-684-2960 for tickets, $15 for...
Or, of course, you can go on davesgoneby.org.
I don't know if I have any information about... I think I put the information up at davesgoneby.org, so check that out as well. Anyway, don't have time to review anything, unfortunately, because it's 11:59 p.m., so we have to... We'll table that for next time. So, we'll be back to finish up the show right after these messages. We've just been inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
If you're like me, you agree that television could always be a little more Jewish. Well, our prayers are answered. Every Wednesday morning, 7:30, on Cablevision Channel 20, Rabbi Sal Solomon, that's me, hosts Shalom Dammit. I do Bible studies, sermons, pelvic exercises, whatever I damn well want. See the episodes on YouTube.com, but also 7:30 Wednesday mornings on Cablevision Channel 20. It's Jewish and it's proud.
This is Jerry Wilson speaking on Days Gone By, WGBB. Hope you're listening.
And I hope you enjoyed listening to this 264th episode of Dave's Gone By.
How could they not enjoy it?
On WGBB AM 1240, WGBB Freeport, I should say, to be legal about it. And
is this WGBB Freeport?
Yes, it is. Oh, we both got legal there. Well done. Well done. See, we're not like Spitzer. We do things the right way, ladies and gentlemen. Let's thank our sponsors before we got to get out of here. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the Copy Kings of Broadway. 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners.
And you know what we have yet to mention?
What's that?
They're next to Lohmann Shoes!
Right across the street from the original Lohmann's. Fancy Schmancy Balloons for all your party decorating needs. 797-3229 is the phone number.
Like anyone's ever going to have a party again.
516-797-3229. Everybody's going to throw a party when George Bush is in
office. 30% off this week.
If you call Jeff this week to have a party or balloons or centerpieces for your party, 30% off. 516-797-3229. Also, thank you to MortgagesRock.com. I don't have a thing for them. They're just the mortgage broker people.
They just rock.
They rock. And they teach
you. Because if you want to make money doing other people's mortgages. That's why mortgages rock. They could rock your wallet.
.com. Yeah. Performing Arts Insider Theater Journal, performingartsinsider.com is the place to go to find out more about that. And remember,
Revival of Broadway.
For 65 years. And remember,
founded by a dead woman.
Well, co-founded by a dead woman, that's true. Joan Marlowe. So in Joan Marlowe's honor, get yourself a subscription.
And in Joan Marlowe's honor, you're going to take an extra $5 off this week.
Well, it's already a big discount. 12 issues for $115. Instead of $120 this week for 12 issues. Now, normally it's $165 a year, so it's a big discount already. $115 for the year for Performing Arts Insider for Dave's Gone By.
And in memory of Joan Marlowe, $5 extra.
Right. Dave'sGoneBy.org, the place to get those $115 subscriptions to Performing Arts Insider. Everybody, listen to Shalom, Damn It, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour, Wednesday mornings at 7:30 on Long Island Cablevision Channel 20. Remember that in beginning April 2nd, that Wednesday, it changes.
Twice
a week, Wednesday morning.
Twice the Shalom, Damn It.
It's double Damn It. It's double dipping, Damn It. Wednesday and Friday mornings at 7:30, but it moves
kinda
to
like
channel
over, where you dip twice.
So channel 115, not channel 20 anymore in April. And plus, remember,
that's a long way up
I
to
know,
go.
I know, but that's the other problem. I don't know why they don't bunch the public access channels together, but there you go.
Because I don't want anyone watching it.
Yeah, but,
they're just jealous of Shalom, Damn It.
As well, they should be. But also, finally, New York is getting Shalom, Damn It. It started this afternoon, Sundays, 1:30, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, New York City, gets Shalom, Damn It on Channel 67, 1:30 p.m., and go to MNN.org, because you can also watch it streaming online.
You can also see it on YouTube.
That's right. I keep forgetting to say that. YouTube, anytime, just look up Saul Solomon or Shalom Damn It. And there the first 10 episodes are. Okay, very quickly, I want to get through a couple of thank yous and shout-outs and things. Tova Feldshu, our guest a couple of weeks ago. Tova, in a nutshell, has extended at Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency, parking 51st Street, one more week to the end of this weekend, March 22nd, this Saturday. So you have another week to catch Tova Feldshu, which is cool because it's Purim, this week. So that's kind of a nice thing. Marilyn May, our guest a couple of months ago, she'll be back at the Metropolitan Room from April 8th to the 16th.
See
so
how
go
good
see
appearing
her.
On Dave's Gone By is for you?
Yeah. TJ and Dave are going to be back at the Barrow Street Theater the last weekend in March, March 28th through the 30th. They were voted 2006 Improvisers of the Year at the Chicago Improv Festival. And as I said just before we went to break, Cream of the Crop Festival at the Richmond Shepherd Theater that starts this weekend with my play in it. So check that out at davesgoneby.org. And reminding everybody that I'm going to be on Joey Reynolds again late this Thursday evening into Friday, 2 in the morning, Friday morning on WOR.
So be sure to stay up for that one.
Stay up or set your clocks or, get up a little early.
Set your alarm. Wake up halfway through your night to hear Dave go, "What? I'm on radio?"
Hi, Joey. Wake me up here. If you have any letters or comments, please email me at davesgoneby@aol.com. And you can check out all stuff about this show at davesgoneby.org.
Can I thank your lovely wife, Joyce?
Please thank my lovely wife, Joyce, and my parents.
I was going to thank your father, who's probably not speaking to me at this point.
Why is that?
We had a big conversation like 2 weeks ago, remember?
Well, no, I've heard that back, and he said sometimes he'd like to mute you, but sometimes he finds you amusing, which is the same with me, so there you go. But I did tell you that we had someone here at the station who is kind of a fan and likes your stuff and thinks you're very funny. So you do appeal. You have some level of appeal. Some. And I want to thank you, certainly, for doing our show tonight. Next week, a very fun and cool guest. There was a cult hit MTV song and video going back to the early days of MTV that I remembered from way back when, and it was one of those things where I liked it so much over the years, I was like, whatever happened to?
What was the song called?
It was called Don't Nobody Move, This is a Heist. And it was a cool video, won some awards, and it featured some famous people like Peter Riegert, Treat Williams, and Marcia Strassman.
Really?
As actors in this weird New York-y night video. And of course, over the years, you wonder. Then, of course, you get things like YouTube and CD Baby and MySpace. and you find out what happened to people. And what's happened to Tony Powers is that he has a new CD out. So we're going to be talking to Tony Powers about his old music, his new music, and all the stuff in between. He's also an actor. He was in Goodfellas. Tony Powers, next week on Dave's so Gone exciting. By. So, we will be back next Sunday, March 16th, 2008, with the 264th episode of Dave's Gone By. Jeff wants to play a little something before we go out. What do we have? It's not more bindy, is it?
Well, other people, I've been robbed.
We just been robbed.
We well, just want to remind people that Carol Channing was robbed.
She was robbed. And but
I wonder if they found the bastard who robbed her.
She didn't call him that, did she? Or are you just saying that?
I'm just saying. If you robbed Carol Channing, you're a bastard.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. Great word to use going into gospel time. Nice job. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And don't flip me off, Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night. I didn't change this thing from last week, so wishing you a very happy and safe St. Patrick's Day.
Not to mention Purim.
Well, yeah, oh my gosh, Purim too. We should do something crazy for Purim. Just let's just go.
Mordechai! Haman! Esther!
And may your week be a sweet thing.
Gone by.
My chariot, Daniel, beaten trash.